welcome to Practical Spirituality on Spirit Quest Radio, the station that provides you with complete nutrition for your body, mind, and spirit. Airing every Monday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, I'm your host, Glenn M. Smith, author of Lotus Petal. And I want to say Happy New Year to everyone. I hope you are putting forward positive thoughts and energy towards the type of year you want to make for yourself. And as divine guidance would suggest, my guest this evening can help you do just that. Tonight we're talking with Jeff Lawton, and he is a transformative relationship and life coaching expert, having been through a lot of changes in his own life, and we are looking forward to finding out more. So I will welcome him in. Jeff, how are you this evening?
I'm great, Glenn. Thank you. Really appreciate you having me on tonight.
It's my pleasure. I think with all the changes that are going on in the world right now, there's going to be a lot of people that need guidance in knowing how to get there. And I understand you've been through that process yourself.
Well, I'd say I've been and continue to go through. You know, the scenery changes interior and externally. But I've definitely been through enough of it to feel like I've got a halfway decent roadmap for what it can be like.
Excellent. So what started you down this path? Take me from the beginning.
Well, when I was in my mid-30s, I was about 15 years or so, maybe actually about 13, 14 years into a corporate career. And it was a career that at the time I was already getting a lot of kind of internal guidance that this was really not for me, but for a variety of reasons, fear being number one among them, I really had a hard time breaking out of the security blanket that that job, that career had provided for me financially, and I thought at the time emotionally. And even though at that point I had a lot of really visible signs that I was on the wrong track, I just wasn't able to really pull myself into the direction that was going to be more the right track. And part of it, when I look back on it now, was I was in a lot of denial about what the right track really was. And what ended up happening is after probably at least a year or two of being in that tug of war that, you know, just was fraught with denial, I started having a lot of physical breakdowns, and I had gotten to a point where I was working. I was definitely a workaholic in those days, and some might argue I haven't changed much around that particular habit, but at least now I'm working for spirit, so it doesn't seem as debilitating. But anyway, back then, I was a workaholic, and I let myself get up to about 275 pounds, which for me was a lot of weight. And my body gave out. My back gave out, and what seemed like your garden variety, oh, I hurt my back, turned into something that had me on my back for a month, unable to work, and having to lie around and, you know, contemplate the ceiling. And when I got bored with that, I could look at my navel. Either way, there was a lot of time to really be with myself. And in that interval, I got really clear that something really had to change. I got that my body was giving me a message. And what I didn't get is I didn't get the emotional message, but I got the physical one. So I spent 8 or 9 months losing all the extra weight and getting my body back into a decent condition, but I didn't change anything else. So then my spirit and my psyche decided to get in on the act. And one Christmas day, I was in a bookstore with my wife, and I got an anxiety attack, which I'd never had in my life. I was 35 when this was all happening. And the anxiety and panic attacks kept coming. And then I realized, okay, you know, whatever it is, I got to do something. The pain of it and the anxiety got to be so heavy that I finally got to a place of, all right, I'll do whatever I got to do to make this go away. And in the process of exploring what was going to give me freedom from that anxiety, I started working on myself. And in the course of doing that, I got, you know, I just dove into every transformative anything that I could get my hands on. And in the course of, you know, the first workshop or two that I did back then, I discovered really, well, I wouldn't have put these words to it, but a draw and a passion that I had even as a young boy, which is a passion for connecting with people and an ability that I had even at 5 years old to be able to feel things with people, things that were certainly beyond, you know, what a five-year-old would logically be able to feel or sense.
Sure.
And yet, all through my childhood, I was the kid that a lot of adults really liked hanging out with. And so when I had all these breakdowns and started doing the workshops and working with spiritual teachers and really diving in to that path, I got reconnected to my passion for helping people and working with people.
Nice. The spiritual teachers, you say, what was there a particular path, particular methodology that you used? How would you describe it?
Well, at the risk of being flip, I'd say back then, my path was the holy path of whatever will work.
Yeah.
It really began as, you know, please God, get me out of my suffering. And ironically, at that, you know, in those early years of that transition, you know, I'd had a lot of really difficult experiences with the church I grew up in as a kid. And so in the midst of a lot of disillusionment as a teenager, I basically just turned my back on spirit altogether. I mean, I couldn't, if you said spirit or God between about the ages of 17 and 35, I was going to walk the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But I found myself being drawn a lot to Eastern. You know, in that period, you know, if I wasn't going to talk to God or if I wasn't going to believe in God, I could kind of hang with Buddha. So, you know, when I was in college, I got interested in Buddhism, and I'd say light. I was never a really heavy-duty student at that point of it. But I definitely related a lot to both the Buddhist and Eastern disciplines. And I also had an innate draw to Native American spiritual traditions. And I didn't, it was a draw when I was younger, but when I started going through this, what I would call an awakening in my mid-30s, I definitely was drawn a lot to Native and earth-based kind of traditions. And then in the course of being in a year-long intensive transformational program, the teacher that was leading that program confronted me one day with, you know, my resistance to God, you know, what that meant to me. And I had one of those moments that I equate to, you know, putting your finger in a light socket.
Mm-hmm.
And a moment of really saying, no, I will not deal with this God thing. I will, you know, there's no mm-hmm. way I'm going anywhere near it. And I turned away from her. She was literally in my face. And
mm-hmm.
saying, you've got to handle this God thing or you can't go any further. And, of course, I knew she was right, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I didn't really want to admit it. So I turned away and looked out a window, and all of a sudden I felt like a million volts of electricity went through my entire body, and it was crystal clear to me that God was having none of my resistance
mm-hmm.
and decided to pay me.
It's to me, I'm coming to you. Yeah.
Exactly. And did it in a way that broke my heart wide, wide open. And I had no question of what that energy was. And so from then on, I got very much into, you know, an even deeper cut of Native American traditions. I got very involved with some of the more metaphysically esoteric books, Alice Bailey, a lot of reading that I did around channeled entities and ascended masters and angelic energies, you know, a lot of stuff that at the time mm-hmm. I thought was pretty woo-woo, but I was drawn to it, and, you know, I just was all about following where my spirit was going to take me. And so I really went very deeply into as much metaphysical and esoteric type of writings and experiences as I could get my hands on. And so now when people ask me, well, what's your spiritual path? I just kind of say, well, I'm a mutt.
Yeah, Heinz 57.
Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah. I follow anything that helps me experience my way of connecting with spirit, and so I pull from a variety of traditions.
Yeah. Well, I think that's beautiful because anyone who gets sort of single-minded about a certain philosophy, it takes them away from the true experience. What I want to ask you is, you did a lot of reading, and what I've always wondered, that gets people just thinking in their head about things.
Mm-hmm.
That experience you had, well, I've had a similar one, and it was not a thought. it was a feeling.
Yeah. Yep.
And so how do you balance that? You're learning it intellectually, but yet the actual experience is more of a feeling place.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the reading that I was doing, particularly in those first few years, really before I'd even made the decision to leave my corporate life and move into a life of coaching and doing healing work with people, I think at that point, to be honest, the wake-up call that I got was a wake-up to feeling. And I've always, you know, the irony is as a kid, I think like a lot of us, if not all of us, you know, I was a very emotional kid. I had a lot mm-hmm. of feelings. I was an extremely sensitive child. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was in an era where sensitive was a bad word. And, mm-hmm. But that's just, you know, that was my makeup. And I got a lot of grief for that and, you know, caught a lot of flack from other kids and, you know, some adults. And so the ability to feel had always been there, but I'd buried it to, you know, avoid getting a bunch of crap from people.
Yeah.
And to do what I thought was going to work, you know, to get my needs met or to get the love that I wanted, I kind of grew up and went into my adulthood believing that, well, you know, maybe just kind of working hard and figuring stuff out was going to be the way to nirvana. And for me, as you just mentioned, I got smarter and I got more in my head, and that's why the breakdowns had to happen, because I was totally, other than my love for my wife and my kids, and my love of music, yeah, that was a big savior. I didn't spend much time feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so the books were a way to kind of placate that part of my mind that wasn't ready to let go one iota. But after the first year or two of, you know, from that experience that I just shared with you, from the time that happened, it got to be all about, I just want to experience
mm-hmm.
everything. And so I just, you know, I was working for the first year or two after this awakening. I was doing my corporate day job during the week, and then as many weekends as I could, nights, I was just immersing myself in every kind of transformational experience I could get my hands on. And that was all about feeling, and that's really become a centerpiece of my work. You know, we have to feed the mind enough to keep it occupied so it gets out of the way, but mm-hmm. the transformation and the connection to spirit for me and the people I've worked with over the years, you're right, it comes from getting great lyric to a song that I love. You have to get out of your mind to get into your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where we really, in my opinion, that's where we really experience love.